You have a very fine figure, Mrs. Williams.
And you, Henry Williams, are a terrible liar. I'm getting much too plump.
Good. That's how I like my women. Now into your bath.
Poor Bessie, by Jack Gratis, with John Croft as Henry Williams and Penelope Nice as Bessie Mundy. Poor Bessie.
Is it over, Fanny?
Yes, Herbert. It's all over.
A blessed relief. Will you tell Bessie, or shall I?
Oh, why, better. Where is she?
In the garden, I think. Yes, there she is.
Listen to her. 25 years old and still like a child.
Oh.
What on earth are we going to do with her?
Do, Major?
But yes. Warminster's not going to provide her with a husband. Too small. Most of the eligible young men are married.
Well, fortunately, your brother's left her well provided.
Yes, but that worries me too. I mean, she's so vulnerable.
Yes, yes, I see what you mean. Well, I'll have a word with George. He's pretty sharp when it comes to money.
Mm. Oh, thank you, Herbert. Mm. Oh, well, it's no good putting it off. I'd best get it over with. Oh, she was so very fond of her father.
Yes, she was.
Bessie? Bessie, dear?
Yes, Al?
What is it?
Oh, no.
I'm afraid so.
But why didn't you call me?
Well, there was nothing you could have done. And as your Uncle Herbert says, it's a blessed relief.
Hmm.
He has suffered so much since his stroke.
Look, I wanted to be with him. He was all I had in the world.
Oh, nonsense, dear. You have your brother George and us.
George doesn't care anything for me. And I'll be just a nuisance to you and Uncle Herbert.
Oh, no.
No. With Papa gone, I'm all alone.
As you know, Bessie, Father left you well provided. £2,500 in gilt-edged securities.
I don't want to talk about that, George. Not with Papa just buried.
I'm afraid you're going to have to, old girl. Because it's for your own good. Uncle Herbert and I have arranged with Mr. Ponting, Father's solicitor, to set up a trust fund for you. Which means that your capital will be safe, but you'll be receiving about £8 per month.
£8? Well, isn't that a lot of money?
Well, it used to be before the war with those damn Boers. That cost the country a fortune. But it can still keep you comfortable for the rest of your life, provided you're careful.
Funny, me being the daughter of a bank manager and knowing nothing about money.
Well, that's what Uncle Herbert and I realized. And that's why we set up the trust. It's to protect you.
From what?
Well, you know.
You mean you don't think a man could love me for myself?
We just don't want you to be in any danger, that's all.
Sometimes I think I should like a little danger in my life.
That's schoolgirl talk, Bessie. You're too old for that.
I'm really too old for everything, George. I'm very much afraid I'm going to end up one of those poor, sad spinsters you see about the place. And I cannot imagine anything worse than that.
If you stayed in Warminster, perhaps. But I'll wager you'll meet a nice young fellow at one of those seaside resorts you're going to be staying at. And he'll sweep you off your feet and carry you off to some beautiful mansion.
Oh.
Just like you used to dream about when you were a child.
Oh, George, do you think so? Do you really think so?
Of course I do.
I don't mind at all if he's as poor as a church mouse as long as he loves me. Oh, you're so good to me, George. Everyone's been so kind since Papa died. I suddenly feel, I don't know, I feel that perhaps something wonderful is about to happen to me for the first time in my life.
Now remember, Bessie, I'll be sending you your £8 every month. You must take care of it and see that you do not overspend.
Yes, Uncle Herbert.
And there's another thing. You're on your own from now on. Take good care who you speak to, and if any strange man should address you, you just ignore him.
Mm.
Those seaside places attract all kinds of riffraff.
Yes, Aunt Fanny.
All aboard.
Goodbye, Aunt Fanny. Goodbye, Uncle Herbert.
Goodbye, Bessie.
Goodbye.
Oh, I hope we've done the right thing, letting it go off like that.
Well, my dear, as you yourself said, what alternative do we have? We're too old ourselves to be looking after her. George is married with his own family to take care of. No, she shall just have to make the most of it. Well, at least she will never starve.
Yes, but what does she know of the world? She's so innocent. Brought up here in Warminster. Mother dead when she was a mere child. Her father doting on her. Never allowing her to make a single decision for herself. And now we're sending her into the world full of wickedness.
My dear, you're worrying yourself for nothing. She'll be staying at decent places, under the eye of good landladies. What on earth can happen to her? A well-brought-up young woman like Bessie in an English seaside resort.
This is your room. How long will you be staying?
3 months. Try one of these cakes.
Oh, no, thank you. I couldn't eat another thing.
And did you see that hat she wore?
Out of the way.
This is your room. How long will you be staying?
5 months. Shall you be going to the concert party tonight? I wouldn't miss it for the world.
A little bridge before dinner.
Why not?
This is your room. How long will you be staying?
6 months. Don't look now, but I think he's staring at us.
Which one?
The one with the monocle.
He's very handsome.
But married, my dear. Married.
This is your room. How long will you be staying?
Oh, I don't know. 3 months, 6 months, forever.
Love, Bessie. Dear Aunt, I am glad you and Uncle Herbert are both well. The weather in Clifton is very pleasant and not too hot for this time of the year. The boarding house I'm staying at is very nice, but I still miss my little room at Warminster and that lovely garden, even though it's 6 years since I was there.
Excuse me, mind if I sit down?
Oh, no.
I've been watching you for some time, and may I say that you have a very fine figure.
Pardon?
I see I've shocked you, but I'm a man who believes in speaking his mind straight off. Name's Henry Williams, and what's yours?
Bessie Mundy.
Miss or Mrs.?
Miss.
Ah, staying in Clifton long?
I don't know.
Not made any plans, eh?
No, not exactly. My time's my own.
Excellent, so's mine. I'm a furniture dealer and restorer, antiques, that sort of thing. I go about the country looking for pieces to buy. I've a real eye for a bargain.
That must be very exciting. I should like to occupy my time doing something like that. I seem to have so much of it.
Come what may, time and the hours run through the roughest day. That's Shakespeare. He's my favourite writer. Who's yours?
Well, I don't really have one. I'm not much of a reader.
Ah, literature, nothing like it. Feeds the soul, as they say. I'm writing a novel. It's called The Man Who Watched His Own Funeral.
Oh, dear. What a sad title.
Life's sad. You've got to take what you can get out of it before it's done, don't you agree?
I've never really thought about it, but I expect you're right.
Take my word for it, I know. I was in the army. You see everything there. I bought myself out after 3 years. Mm. Couldn't take it, obeying orders from people not fit to wipe your feet. Travelled here, there, everywhere since then. Been to Canada as well. Now there's a place for you.
Canada? That's a very long way away.
Ah, but that's where a man with enterprise like me can get on. Here, you've got to be born in the right bed to make a go of it. You sound as if you was. What's your father? Professional? Trade?
Papa was a bank manager.
Was, you say?
He died 6 years ago.
You got any other family?
Just my brother and my aunt and uncle.
Here, in Clifton?
No, they live in Warminster.
So, you're all alone in the world, like me?
Yes.
Well, that's my good fortune. And yours too, I hope. Wake up!
What?
Wake up!
What?
You look like you was having a fit.
A fit? Oh, no. Oh, no, Henry. It was just a bad dream.
Hmm. I brought you your candle. Thought we'd have a bit of a chat.
Oh.
Oh, come and sit by me and hold me. Please.
It's about that money you said your father left you. 2,500, wasn't it?
Well, I don't rightly know, Henry. Or something like that. Uncle Herbert and my brother George attended to everything. Why worry about that now?
I'm not worrying about it, Bessie. But we've got to plan what we're going to do when we get married.
Oh.
I told you my idea for an antique. And I was thinking it'd be nice if we started up here, in Weymouth.
Oh.
Well, plenty of rich titled folk come here for their holidays. With a nice little shop near the seafront, we'd have a good business going in no time.
Oh, and can I help you? You'd let me help you run it?
Yes, of course you would. While I'd be around the country looking for things to buy, you'd be looking after the shop.
Oh, I'd love that more than anything. I'd be so busy keeping it nice and tidy and serving customers. Oh, when I was a little girl, I used to play shopkeepers with my brother. Oh, and Henry, we had such a lovely garden.
Yes, yes, that's all very well, but life's not a game, you know. We've got to get some capital. You can't start a shop without capital.
I know, Henry. I only wish that Papa had money.
That's what I mean, Bessie, love. How has it been left to you, in cash or what?
Oh, I'm not quite sure, dear. It was all so complicated and difficult. I don't understand any of these legal things.
You're not trying to hide something from me, are you? Some scheme you and your rich relatives have got up to?
No, no. You're hurting my arm.
I'm sorry, my love. Only we can't be starting out on the wrong foot, can we now? We've got to trust each other.
Oh, yes, Henry. Always. I'm still a little confused. Everything's happened so quickly. One minute we've never set eyes on each other. The next we're running off to Weymouth together. Oh, I could have burst out laughing to look at that stupid landlady in Clifton and all those gossipy old women when we walked out of the house with you carrying my bag. What they must have been thinking about me. I didn't care. I just knew it. The moment you spoke to me that I wanted to spend the rest of my life with you.
So you shall, my dear, so
oh,
you shall.
Henry.
But we'd better see a solicitor about the will soon. No good living these legal matters. And you never know how your family might take to your getting married.
Oh, they'll be very happy that I'm settled with a husband of my own. I'm sure they will.
Well, I should say so, but you never can tell. You are a notch above me, you know, and people from your class are particular about things like that.
Aunt and uncle aren't a bit like that. I'm sure you'd like them if you met them.
That's as maybe. But we've got to make sure of our position.
Yes, dear. Please, don't leave me now. I do love it when you're with me like this. Stay a little longer.
Nothing in the world would please me more than to spend the rest of the night with you. But when we're married, not until then.
Oh.
Now get yourself off to sleep and dream about me. I'll be right next door.
Yes, dear, I will. Thank you, Henry.
For what?
For loving me.
Can I help you?
Well, you want to get married by a special license.
And when's a happy day?
I know you have to give one day's clear notice, so put us down for the day after tomorrow. And let's have those declaration forms to fill in. We're in a hurry.
Here you are, sir. If you need any assistance, I'll be happy to
Thank
help.
Thank you. We can manage.
I don't know what to write, Henry.
Your name in full. Bessie Mundy.
No, it's Beatrice Constance Annie Mundy. That's my full name, only everyone calls
me. What a mouthful. All right, put it down. Then give the Cramps address where we're staying and your father's occupation, banker. Now get on with it. We've still got lots to do today.
Yes, Henry.
Well, that wasn't too bad.
Oh, not really. You haven't done this before, Henry, have you? Because you seem to know exactly what to do.
What are you accusing me of, Bessie? I'm not going to stand here and be insulted like that.
I'm sorry, Henry. I didn't mean to upset you. I'm really joking. The
trouble with you women is you pry too much into things that don't concern you.
Don't be angry. I didn't think. It's just you tell me so little about yourself.
Well, you want to know more, do you? Well, you know what I tell people who ask too many questions?
No.
I tell them my mother was a bus horse, my father was a cab driver, and my sister a rough rider of the Arctic regions. What about that, eh? Will that satisfy your curiosity?
You can be very cruel to me sometimes, Henry.
you best learn to keep your mouth shut. I saw Solicitor's office around here the other day. Now, where is it? Oh, there we are. William T. Wheaton, Solicitor and Notary Public. I hope you can see us now.
Wouldn't it be better if you went on your own, dear? You understand these legal things, and it's such a lovely morning for a walk on the Esplanade.
No, it's your father's will. You must tell the solicitor all about it.
Ah, Mr. and Mrs. Williams, is it? Please sit down. What can I do for you?
My wife and I recently got married. My wife's from Warminster, where her father was the manager of an important bank. He died a few years ago and left her some money. As we want to go into business here in Weymouth, my wife wishes to receive some of that money.
I see. Well, that shouldn't be too difficult. If you write to the executor, I'm sure he'll be...
Yes, but there's a bit of a problem. You see, my wife thinks that the money's been tied up in some way, but she's not sure how. If you could write to the solicitor in Warminster, he'd be able to tell you about it, wouldn't he?
Perhaps there's a trust involved, Mrs. Williams.
Yes. Well, I'm not sure.
My wife's not versed in these matters. Wouldn't it be better if you wrote to Warminster for the necessary details?
Certainly I'll do that if that's what you want, Mrs. Williams.
Yes, as my husband said, yes. Yes, please.
And what is his name, your father's solicitor?
I don't remember.
Come on, Bessie, think.
I'm trying to.
I have a law directory here. I could look up the names of the solicitors in Warminster and you could tell me.
Ponting. I remember now. Yes, Mr. Ponting.
Good girl.
P-O-N-T-I-N-G. I'll write, as you request, Mrs. Williams, and find out what I can from him. But I expect it is some form of a trust. Come in to see me, say, next Tuesday. I'm sure to have a reply from him by then, about 11 o'clock, if that's suitable.
Oh. Oh, God, Henry. I want you to make love to me. Please. Oh, please.
Later, perhaps, dearest. But first, I'd like you to write a letter to your uncle to tell your people we've got married.
But not till tomorrow.
One more day, what does it matter? And if we write now, it's fait accompli, as you might say. And it's too late for them to do anything about it, in case they should want to stop it.
But now?
Yes, to catch the last post.
All right, Henry.
Your tea's ready.
Thank you, Mrs. Crabb. We'll be coming down right away. Get on with it now, Bessie.
What should I say?
Just say, dear uncle, I got married today. My husband, who I hope you will meet soon, is a good man and he makes me very happy. And don't forget to sign your name, Mrs. Williams.
Another sliced bread and jam, Mr. Williams.
Much obliged to you, Mrs. Crabb.
What about you, Mrs. Oh, dear. Not yet. Keep forgetting.
Just one more day, Mrs. Crabb.
That reminds me, as you've both been so friendly to us, we would appreciate it if you would act as our witnesses tomorrow.
Well, sir, we'd like that very much, I'm sure, but yeah. I've got my work.
Oh, don't worry. We'll see to it you are properly compensated. Only we've no friends to speak of in Weymouth, and Bessie would like someone she knows, wouldn't you, my dear?
Oh, yes, please.
Well, I reckon that's fair, then. What do you say, Mrs. Crabb?
A bit of pleasure, I'm sure. And afterwards, I'll make a special tea.
I'll open that bottle of whiskey I've been saving.
Excellent. It's at 3 in the afternoon. Bessie and I will meet you at the register office.
Aye. And then, you're for it.
Oh, go on, Mr. Crabb. You wouldn't have it any other way.
No, maybe not. But then I'm one of your lucky ones. Ain't I, Mrs. Crabb?
You don't think I will be?
Well, of course you will be, dear. You, Mr. Crabb, hold your tongue.
Just one more photograph to send the folk.
Ah, that'll do. How much will that be?
3 shillings and sixpence.
Highway robbery.
Don't worry, Henry. I have the money. There we are. 3 and 6, is it? There we are.
Well done. Well done, Mr. Williams.
Mm, very nice.
I see from this photo on the piano, Mr. Crabb, that you were also in the army.
Aye. You too, Mr. Williams?
Yes. Northamptonshire Regiment.
Ah.
I was a physical training instructor, boxing, wrestling, dumbbells, that sort of thing.
Well, that's what I said to Mrs. Crabb, didn't I, dear? I said you must have done some physical training to look at you.
Ah, you were right. Feel this bicep.
I wouldn't like to tussle with you on a dark night.
Why'd you leave, Mr. Williams?
No place for a respectable man. Mind you, I was much too sharp for him. I knew those army regulations like the back of my hand. One day, I told the orderly officer that we hadn't enough food to eat.
You never.
I was marched right off the colonel. Colonel, I said, according to regulations, the men haven't enough food, and I can prove it. I got them to fetch a pair of scales, and you know what? I proved it to him, there and then, that they were 3 ounces short in their rations.
What happened?
The food got better overnight, that's what happened.
Oh,
for the old regiment, what's more?
Oh, bravo!
He tells other people more about himself than he tells you.
Mrs. Williams, you're not drinking your tea. There's more cake. You must help yourself.
Thank you. You're very kind.
She's not a child, Mrs. Crabb.
I never said she was, Mr. Williams. But some people need a little more care taken of them than others. I hope you realize that.
These are the documents that Mr. Ponting sent me, Mrs. Williams. There's a copy of your father's will, and this is the voluntary settlement you made.
What settlement?
I was about to explain. Mrs. Williams signed this deed of settlement after her father's death. Under it, her share under her father's will is being held in trust for her by her uncle and brother.
Does this mean my wife can't get hold of her own property?
As things stand, that is so. But I suggest, Mrs. Williams, that if you want to do anything about it, you should consult Mr. Ponting. After all, he drew up...
My affairs has got nothing to do with my wife's people. I just want to know whether we can get any capital from this trust, that's all. For the business I told you about.
Oh, Henry is going to be so angry with me. I wish I hadn't let George persuade me to sign that deed. Oh, I wish Papa was here. He would help me. I know he would.
I've got it. We'll raise a loan using the settlement as security.
I might be able to suggest something like that to Mr. Ponting. Perhaps if you could tell me a little about yourself, Mr. Williams.
What do you want to know?
Just a few details of your background. It seems, according to Mr. Ponting, that your wife's family know absolutely nothing about you.
I wrote to them the other day, didn't I, Bessie?
Oh, yes, Henry. A very nice letter.
They think I'm not respectable enough for their precious niece, is that it? They think I'm after their money. That's why they're putting difficulties in our way. I never knew that my wife's father had left her any money until the day we came to see you, and I've known her for 6 months. Isn't that so, Bessie?
Oh, I'm so horribly confused by all this talk. I just wish we could get out of this stuffy office and walk along the seafront.
I'm 35. I come from London. I'm a picture restorer and dealer. I go about the country buying and selling. I was 3 years in the army. Isn't that enough? Now, what about a loan?
I'll have to look at the settlement more closely before I can properly advise you.
But you said you looked at it already.
Not closely enough. Mr. Ponting did not go into too much detail in his letter. He only mentioned the cash.
What cash?
Oh, I thought you knew about that, Mrs. Williams.
Why does he keep addressing me and not Henry? Henry understands these things so much better than I do. No, I don't.
Well, as I understand it, you haven't been using up all the interest, so it's accumulated over the years.
How much is there?
Over £100.
Kept that to yourself as well.
I didn't know about it, dear.
I'd like you to write to this Mr. Ponting today and tell him that we want this £100 immediately. If we can't put our hands on all the money she's really entitled to, then at least we can get hold of that little bit they're trying to keep from her.
Is that what you want me to do, Mrs. Williams?
Yes. What my husband asks.
As you wish.
Why didn't you tell me about that settlement? Don't trust me, is that it? You and the lawyer, you people are all alike. Now what are we going to do about the business, eh? That's what I'd like to know.
Please don't shout at me, dear. People are staring.
I don't give a damn.
I'll do anything for you, Henry. Just stay with me and love me.
Love? Oh, yes, love. You can't buy pictures with love, can you? Still, could be worse, I suppose. At least we'll have £100 in our pockets to get started. And in the meantime, we might as well see what the town has to offer.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
after we watched the Channel Island steamer arriving, we went to the Jubilee Hall to see one of those moving pictures. Mm-hmm. It's the first I've ever seen, and it was so thrilling. There was a picture about the Bay of Naples, and it looked just like real life. Yeah. And then, oh, very funny comedy. I laughed so much I almost fell off my chair. and then afterwards, Henry bought me some lovely chocolates. You must have one. Please.
Oh.
Yes, and you too, Mr. Crab.
Well, thank you, Grandma. I don't mind if I do.
Oh, it's so wonderful, Mrs. Crab. I'm having such a lovely, lovely time.
Mm-hmm.
I never imagined marriage could be so wonderful. And Henry's so kind. Whatever I want to do, he lets me. He never raises his voice or anything. Oh, to think I've been living alone all these years, going from place to place, just accepting that this was how things were for like women like me. Not knowing, not even realizing what bliss life really can be.
Ah, that's very nice, Mrs. Williams. Very nice indeed. I only hope it lasts like that for both of you.
Oh, why shouldn't it?
No reason. Only nothing does, you know?
Well, ours will. I just know it. When you have a wonderful husband like mine, nothing can ever go wrong.
Where is Mr. Williams now? He hasn't come down for his tea.
Oh, dear. There I am, forgetting again. He especially asked me if you keep something hot for him. He's urgent letters to write. It's about our shop, I think. Perhaps I'd better go up and see how he's getting on. Will you excuse me?
Of course. Tell him his tea will be there for him whenever he wants it.
Oh, you're very kind. You're both so very kind. I'm so lucky.
I hope she's right.
What do you mean, Mrs. C?
Well, I don't know, but there's something about that husband of hers that worries me. Something not quite right.
Oh, a bit of a rough diamond maybe, but no better nor worse than any other Londoner, I reckon.
Oh, you men, you can't see beyond your noses.
Oh.
She's such a childlike creature for someone her age. And much too trust him. Seems to me she was so pleased a man took notice of her, she'd have married him even if he were a bluebeard himself.
No, Mrs. C, that's not a nice way to talk about her guests. After all, he's paying rent for two rooms and not complaining even though they're now living in one.
She's paying, not him.
Hello.
I've seen her hand him the money to give over to me. And that's another thing. He don't seem to do any work.
What about that shop he's always talking about?
I believe that when I see it. Oh, and by the way, he said he was going to give you something for staying off work for their wedding, didn't he?
Not a penny.
Thought as much. He's mean, I tell you. Mean and shifty. Look at those eyes of his. They look right into you. Gives me the creep.
Henry?
Yeah, what?
Oh, did I startle you? I only wanted... Well, I wanted to...
What, Bessie?
Just to say that Mrs. Crab will keep your tea hot for you.
The least you can do, the amount we're paying her. Now go away and let me finish these letters. I must get them off tonight.
Please, Henry, can't I stay up here with you?
All right, but sit in that chair like a good girl.
Certainly, dear. And thank you.
And for God's sake, Bessie, stop thanking me every time I say something.
But you don't know how grateful I am.
For marrying you. I know. You've told me often enough. Let's leave it at that, shall we?
Who are you writing to, dear?
What have I told you, Bessie? I don't like prying. Prying will just get you a clip around the ear. You understand me, Bessie?
Yes, Henry.
I received this check for you, Mrs. Williams, from Mr. Ponting yesterday.
Let me see.
It's made out to you, Mrs. Williams.
How much is it for?
The amount due to you, Mrs. Williams, is £135, 2 shillings and 11 pence, less Mr. Ponting's fee.
And how much are you going to charge us?
My fee is 2 guineas.
A lot of money for a few letters, but I don't suppose we've much choice. Can we have the money now?
I'll make a check out for you, Mrs. Williams, right now.
Yes, thank you.
No, not a check. My wife doesn't have a bank account. We want it in cash. Gold coin.
That's not my usual practice.
We must get it in cash now. We want to start our business before the season ends. I've seen a place for sale and I want to buy furniture. Ain't that so, Bessie?
He said nothing about it to me. But then he doesn't tell me everything. It's because he's got so much on his mind at the moment, poor man.
Mrs. Williams?
Oh, yes, as my husband says.
I suggest, then, Mrs. Williams, that after you have bought what you need, you put the rest into a bank account. There's quite a lot of money here.
Yes, thank you. I will.
If you'll excuse me a moment, I'll instruct my clerk to go to the bank and cash it immediately.
Gold coin. Don't forget. These damn solicitors. They're all the same. Making difficulties just to earn extra fees.
To be doing the best he can for us, Henry, and he did get us the money.
Hell, what do you know about anything, Bessie?
Not very much, I'm afraid. But I am making an effort to understand because I want to help you in the business. It's just the papa. Well, he never taught me anything about the world. What happened in the bank wasn't for little girls to think about, and after my mother died, he just wanted to make life as easy as possible for me, I suppose.
Well, a damn good job he made of it. You're the most ignorant.
Here we are. I'll just count them out to make sure.
No, don't bother. We're in a hurry.
Here you are then, Mrs. Williams. I still think you should put this straight into a bank account.
Yes. Thank you.
Come on now, Bessie.
Please, Henry, you take them. They're much too heavy for me to carry.
Yes, dear, I think that's wiser. I say, it's such a grand morning. Why don't we go along to Alexander Gardens and spend an hour or so listening to the band?
No, Henry. But I thought you'd take me to see the place you told the solicitor about.
What place? Oh, yes, the shop. Yes, well, I tell you what, love. You go along to the gardens and I'll go and deal with it. Then if I can get the seller to agree to everything I ask, I'll bring you along to see it.
All right, dear. But walk the way with me, please. You know how proud I am to be seen with you. I only wish Aunt Fanny and Uncle Herbert could see how happy we are. We will go and visit them soon, won't we, dearest?
Yes, of course. Soon. Here you are, Bessie. A nice seat close to the bandstand.
Thank you, dearest. And you won't be long, will you?
I'll be back before you even realize I've gone.
Concert's finished. He's still not back. What could have happened to him? Oh, I hope he's all right. No, I mustn't panic. I must get a grip on myself. Excuse me, sir. Do you have the time?
1 o'clock exactly. Time for a snifter before lunch. Eh? What?
Thank you. Henry's been gone for nearly 2 hours. You've never left me alone this long. Perhaps he's had an accident. Been knocked down by a carriage in the esplanade. Perhaps he's lying there and no one knows who he is. Oh, he could be dying. Oh, God, I must find him.
I say, stand it on now.
Do you mind?
Oh, I'm sorry, but I must find him. I must find Henry.
What a nerve.
The fire, little lady.
I don't know where I am.
Give us a kiss before you rush off.
Oh, there it is. There's the house. Oh, please, please let Henry be at home waiting for me.
He's been back.
Oh, thank God.
But he's gone again.
Gone? Gone where?
To London.
Why London?
I don't know, dear. He never said anything to me. He just gave me this letter to give to you. Maybe he explains it all in here.
He was writing letters last night.
Shall I leave you to read it?
No. You read it to me.
please. I don't think I can.
But let's sit down calmly, then. Dearest, I fear I have blighted all my bright hopes of a happy future.
Yes.
I have caught from you a disease which has caught... I think you should read this for yourself, Mrs. Williams.
No, please, go on.
Caught from you a disease which is called the bad disorder. For you to be in such a state proves that you could not have kept yourself morally clean, must I?
Yes.
Now, for the sake of my health and honor. Oh, my dear, we don't have to read this. Let me tear it up and throw it away.
No, I want to hear what my husband has written.
As you wish. For the sake of my honor and yours, too, I must go to London and act entirely under the doctor's advice to get properly cured of this disease. It will cost me a great deal of money because it might take years before I am cured. The best thing for you to tell the landlady and everyone else is that I have gone to France. But tell your uncle, if he happens to ask you about the money which was sent to you, tell him that you kept it in a leather bag, and 2 days after I had gone, you happened to go on the beach and fall asleep, and when you woke, the bag of money was gone. Oh, Dr. Buff, what kind of man is this?
He said he loved me.
Dear child, you're very fortunate to be rid of him, as I hope you are. And just think, he stayed in my house.
Is there any more?
Well, I'm afraid so.
Then read it, please.
If you will not carry out every word of my advice, you will cause a lot of trouble, and the affair will be in the police court, and you will bring disgrace on yourself and relations. But if you keep away from everyone you know, no one in the world need know of your disgrace.
The man ought to be horsewhipped.
But I loved him, George.
I realize that, old girl. But there's the money he stole from you. We have to bring in the police, you know.
No. No police. Whatever he's done, he's still my husband.
Well, it's your money. Thank heavens he couldn't get his hands on the trust. Now, you know why we insisted on it. Well, what will you do now?
Perhaps he'll come back to me, as he said he would.
Do you seriously think he will?
I don't know. Perhaps I'll go looking for him. I don't know. I just feel that without him, my life's over.
And may I say that you have a very fine figure.
Henry, where are you?
A very fine figure.
I forgive you everything. Please come back to me. I can't stand to be alone anymore.
Sorry, Miss Mundy, but the weather's been so horrid. Your Aunt Fanny will not be pleased with me. She so wanted you to get well here in Weston-super-Mare.
Oh, it's not your fault, Mrs. Tuckett.
If I had the choice, I think I'd go further south in March. Weymouth is nice.
I don't like Weymouth. I'll never go there again.
Sorry, my dear, I forgot. And so really should you. It's nearly 2 years now.
Yesterday it was exactly 18 months since he left me.
Well, count yourself lucky, that's all I can say.
Lucky? That's what everyone keeps telling me. But they don't realize meeting Henry was the only nice thing that ever happened to me. He made me feel alive. And since he left, I've been as good as dead.
Traveling from place to place like a corpse in a coffin. Always hoping that in the next town, the next resort, I'd bump into him and he'd take me in his arms and tell me he loves me.
I
think we could do with some fresh flowers in this room. I don't suppose you'd like to go out and buy some?
Yes, very much.
As long as it's not too windy for you.
No, not too windy. I'll have 5 bunches of your daffodils, please.
I better wrap them up well, otherwise I'll blow away.
Thank you. Am I going the right way for the Marine Parade?
Yes, dearie, straight ahead of you.
Why go there on a day like this?
I'm hoping to meet someone.
Won't be a soul about, I promise you. The sea'll be over the wall. Mind how you go.
Lavender's blue, diddle, diddle, lavender's green. When you are king, diddle, diddle, I shall be your queen.
May I say, Mrs. Williams, that you have a fine figure.
Oh.
You've gone and dropped your flowers. Here, let me pick them up for you. There you are. No damage done.
Henry, did you? I'm not dreaming.
It's me all right, Bessie.
I've seen you in so many places.
Hey, you have?
But it's always turned out to be someone else.
Well, this time you're right. Shake it. Here, let me put my arm round you to keep you warm.
No, don't. People will see us.
Who cares about them?
I do. I've disgraced myself once. I don't want to do it again.
You're still my wife, Bessie.
Then why did you leave me? Why did you go? And why did you write such a cruel, horrible letter? And so untrue. You made me suffer so much.
I've also suffered. When the doctor told me there was nothing wrong with me, and when I realized what I had done to you, I was so miserable. I thought I would do myself in. I really did.
Then why didn't you come and find me?
Let's not stand here in the cold. Let's walk back into town. I searched all over, hoping that I would find you again. At night, I cried bitterly.
Oh, stop. Stop. Oh, God, I can't believe it's true.
It's a miracle, darling. But it shows we were meant to find each other again.
Did you think so, Henry? I've never stopped hoping.
It's asking a lot of you, I know, but can you find it in your heart to forget the past?
Forget the past? Forget all the pain?
Yes, dearest wife. I'm begging you to forgive me and be just as we were.
I don't know. I don't know what to think. My mind's in a whirl. Please, hold me before I fall.
Oh. Don't you still love me?
Yes, I do, Henry.
And has your life been any happier without me?
No, worse. Much, much worse.
Well, then, be my wife again, this time for good.
And you will never go away again?
Never, I swear. I've learnt my lesson. I know that we belong to each other forever.
And yes, yes, I will.
Thank God.
Oh. Oh, Henry, I would like to go to church.
Church? What for?
So that we can be properly married.
No, dear. I've got an even better idea.
Now, let me see if I understand this correctly. You say, Mr. Williams, that you had contracted this contagious disease and you feared you would communicate it to Mrs. Williams, so you left her. Now, you've met again, you've come to me, a solicitor, to formalise your reunion.
Correct. I thought it better we should do that, so Bessie's family can know that we are together again. You see, I'd also borrowed some money from Mrs. Williams, about £150, and because I had her relations, her uncle mainly, Mr. George Mundy...
No, Henry, dear. George is my brother. Herbert is my uncle.
Yes, Herbert Mundy. Mm. He was a little put out. Why he should be, I don't know. Mm. It wasn't his money in the first place. But I would like to establish a better understanding with him, if possible. So I would like you to write to him explaining the circumstances, as I've told you them, you know, about the money and all, and that we're a united couple once again.
Can you repay that money to your wife?
Not at the moment.
Some of it.
I said not at the moment, but I'll do whatever it takes to earn back her love and forgiveness.
Perhaps you give your wife a promissory note. Otherwise, I don't see how you're going to establish better relations with Mr. Mundy.
A promissory note? What an excellent suggestion. Why didn't I think of that? And you'll tell her people that I signed one.
Certainly, if you wish me to. Now, if you'll wait a few minutes, I'll go out and dictate the note, and you can sign it as soon as it's ready.
Miss Mundy, you're in my care. Your aunt especially asked me to look after you. Now this terrible man comes along, and you want to go off with him. How can you be sure he won't leave you again, or worse?
Worse, Mrs. Tuckett. Nothing could be worse than that. But he is still my husband, and I have promised to forgive him. He has also suffered.
Suffered my foot.
The man's an out-and-out rogue, if you ask me, Miss Mundy.
Mrs. Williams. I am Mrs. Williams. I shall go with my husband wherever I choose. Rather that than be imprisoned in a place like this for the rest of my life.
Well.
March 1912. Dear Mr. Mundy, after what has occurred, I count it my duty to write you expressing my sorrow for the past events, and vow to take every advantage of every hour of every day to prove myself before the eyes of my wife and her relatives a true and worthy husband. H. Williams.
Dear Aunt, everything after all is happening for the best. I know my husband now better than ever I knew him, and I am perfectly happy with him. I hope you will soon forget the past. With love, Bessie.
Bessie, that promissory note I signed in front of that solicitor in Weston, for the money I took from you. We won't be needing it now we're together again.
No, Henry. I don't even know why you bothered to sign it in the first place when you know that whatever I have is yours.
Come on, tear it up.
Yes, dear. Henry, do you know Mr. G.J. Smith? There are two more letters for him, like the ones we got in Nansky.
Here, give them to me.
Was he a friend of yours?
Mind your own business.
But, Henry, I only...
Damn it, woman, I said give them to me.
Oh!
Canada. That's our next stop, after Herne Bay. Yeah, listen to what it says here in the newspaper. Canada carries off the palm as the most attractive part of the globe for the person seeking new horizons. Well, that's me. I'm always seeking new horizons.
I don't care where we go, dearest, as long as we're together.
Herne Bay, next stop. Next stop, Herne Bay.
Can I help you?
I saw in your window an unfurnished house to rent, number 80 High Street.
Oh, yes, that's Mr. Wilby's house. Very nice, very comfortable, very convenient for the shops.
What's the rental on it?
Let me look it up. Number 80... Yes, here we are. Five rooms and kitchen. No bathroom, I'm afraid. Only £18 per annum. A real bargain. How many people will be occupying the house?
Only my wife and me. We've been married 2 years. No family.
And what references can you give me?
References? None. We've just arrived in town.
Any previous landlord will do.
We've been going about to different places, staying in furnished rooms, you know.
I see. Have you a banking account?
How about this post office savings book?
Oh, no. That's not what I mean. Still, if you let me have a look.
No need. I can tell you there's between £50 and £60 in there.
I won't leave you much to live on once you've furnished the house.
There's no problem there. My wife has a private income. She gets it monthly.
Oh, I see. Good. And your occupation, Mr...
Henry Williams, I deal in antique. I might as well tell you it's all a bit of a romance. You see, my wife's a notch above me. She's a daughter of a bank manager, and her family didn't at all approve of us getting married. So we've been kept on the move, avoiding them.
Yes, but now, about the house, will you be wanting it?
Oh, yes, of course.
Good. Here's our usual agreement. If you could just sign your name there and there. G.J. Williams. I thought you said your name was Henry.
Stupid of me. Got so much in my head at the moment. Here, let me strike that out. And write in Henry Williams. That's right now.
Here are the keys. You can move in straight away if you wish.
Yeah, that should hold it. What do you think of the sign on the gate, Bessie?
H. Williams, art dealer, pictures. China, curios, and antique furniture, etc. bought. Oh, it's lovely, Henry. And the brass shines beautifully. I promise I'll keep it like that always.
Happy are you, Mrs. Williams?
What a question to ask. How could I not be? Living in my very own house with a husband who loves me. It's all I've ever wanted. Oh, of course, the garden is small.
Oh, back home in Warminster, our garden was...
Oh, shut up about that.
I was only going to say...
Don't ever speak about it. It makes me sick to listen to you.
Yes, Henry, I understand.
No, you don't. You understand nothing. What can you know of slums? I mean real slums. Rats crawling about, the walls so damp they make everything rot. Stink of rot, I can smell it still. It's always with me. Other people can smell it too, and they turn their noses up at me. People like your family and those damn lawyers always talking to you as if I'm invisible. Well, damn it, I've had enough of that. Nobody's going to treat me like dirt anymore. I'm going to make damn sure of that.
Morning.
Morning.
Good morning, Mrs. Milgate, Miss Stone.
Lovely morning. Going to do some shopping?
Thought we'd have a stroll by the seafront. My wife's finding it very stuffy indoors, aren't you, dear?
Yes, dear. I'm not surprised. This July is one of the hottest we've had for years.
Odd sort of couple, wouldn't you say? He looks like a drayman with those big shoulders of his and that thick moustache.
Oh, I thought he was quite good looking, really.
She's a bit simple, though, isn't she?
Oh, no, I wouldn't call her that, Mrs. Stone. I've chatted to her, and she seems very sweet and very well brought up. Much too good for him.
Wonder what made her marry him.
Well, it takes all sorts.
Henry?
Yeah? I say, look at those bathing beauties over there by the edge of the water. Look at that one there, the blonde. She's giving me the eye. Had a few like her in my time, I can tell you.
Yes, dear. But when are we going to start looking for furniture to buy?
You leave those things to me, Bessie.
That shop in Mortimer Street has a lot of nice china and things.
It's no good talking like that. First thing we've got to do is get our hands on that capital of yours. Yeah, what's happening?
What?
Why's that crowd gathering down there where those girls were playing? Hey, young fella, what's going on?
Been in an accident. A girl slipped in some pebbles and went down head first.
Is she drowned?
Think so. Can't stop, I'm going for a doctor.
They're bringing her up on the beach. I say, it's the blonde one. The one who was flirting with me.
Let's not look, let's walk on, please.
All right. But I don't know what you're getting so fussed about.
She's so young.
Young and old, what's the difference? She had it easy going quick like that. Probably from the shock as much as anything.
Please don't talk like that, Henry. It makes me frightened.
Death, nothing to be frightened of.
I watched my father dying. He suffered so.
Oh, yeah. What did he die of?
A stroke. He was bedridden for months and months.
Knocks the brains out of a man, a stroke does.
I'd rather not talk about it.
Well, what do you care? He left you with pots of money. Only trouble is your damned family don't trust you with it. That's why they've got it so tied up.
They were only trying to protect me, Henry. They did it for my own good.
What good is it to you now? You can't touch a penny of it without your uncle and brother agreeing.
Well, they might. You never know.
I'll tell you something, Bessie. If I can't have that bloody money to start us up in business, I'm going to leave you again. What'd you say to that?
I'd rather die.
Yes, I suppose you would.
You the librarian?
Shh. I'm looking for a book on law.
What aspect of law?
Wills, trusts, that sort of thing.
If you'll come this way, sir, I'll show you what we have.
Shut up with that tune, Bessie. It gets on my nerves. And what do you think you're doing with that feather duster?
Dusting, Henry. I'm doing the best I can, but I've never had to do it before. We always had maid.
We always had maid. We'd have a maid now if we had some money. Do what you like, but just don't disturb me because I'm doing something very important. I think I've found a way at last to break that trust.
How, dear?
I read in this law book that if we make two wills, you leaving me everything you've got and me leaving you everything I've got, then that'll do the trick. So I'm writing them out now, and we'll sign them in front of a solicitor when I've finished.
All right, Henry. I do hope it'll work.
Oh, it will, don't worry. I know my law.
No, they're no good, I'm afraid.
But I read in this law book...
Mr. Annesley, don't you see we need that money? We want to buy a house and set up business. It's wrong we should be prevented from doing it.
Nothing to be done about it, Mrs. Williams. This settlement you signed...
Was made to sign...
Are you suggesting that your wife was forced to sign the deed?
Yes.
Not really forced.
I thought not.
But I was very young when I signed it.
Let me understand you both. You're asking me to find a way to revoke the trust.
Yes, that's it. Revoke the trust.
They never thought I'd marry.
Well, perhaps they did, but to the wrong sort of person.
Just because Mrs. Williams is a notch above me, being the daughter of a bank manager, doesn't mean that I'm not respectable.
This is beside the point. You can, of course, make proper mutual wills, leaving each other your money, but whether that will have the effect of revoking the trust during your lifetime, Mrs. Williams, is another matter. I do not think it will, but I don't want to be dogmatic about it.
Oh, is there nothing we can do?
Yes, I think we ought to take counsel's opinion. See what he has.
Oh, hello, Mrs. Williams. Have you trouble squeezing out that washing?
There's so much on it. I'm not very good at it.
Oh, would you like to use my mangle? You get it done in half the time.
Thank you, Mrs. Milgate, but I'd rather do it myself.
Oh, suit yourself. Mr. Williams not at home?
Oh, no. He's out looking for furniture for the shop. I asked him to take me, but he said I'd be more useful at home. Oh. Even though he knows how hopeless I am at housework.
How long have you been married, Mrs. Williams?
It'll be 2 years in August.
Well, I've been married many more years than you, so let me give you some good advice. If you don't put your foot down right from the start and show your husband that you're not going to be bullied by him, he'll make your life a misery.
Oh, my, Henry wouldn't do that.
Oh, yes, he would. You're all the same. So if you want to go buying furniture with him, you insist on it. And if he gives you any arguments, do what I would do. When he comes sniffing around for a little, you know what, you make him sleep on the floor.
Oh. Yes, okay.
Now, I've looked into the matter of that trust, and this is what I've done. I've drawn up mutual wills and also a deed of covenant not to revoke them. The effect of signing the deed of covenant will be that you, Mrs. Williams, cannot leave your property to anyone else during your lifetime, and only your husband will be entitled to receive it on your death.
Does that mean we can get hold of the money?
As I've tried to explain, I don't think anything will help you there, but this is the nearest to that position we can get. However, to make sure, I'm sending all these documents to counsel, and we'll see what he has to say.
I hope he won't take too long. I have a lot of stock to buy.
Oh, he's a very good man. I have no doubt we'll be hearing from him quite soon.
Good.
You better go, dear. There may be someone answering our advertisement for rooms for that.
Not after all these weeks.
Here, what do you want?
From Mr. Annesley. Brought counsel's opinion for Mrs. Williams.
Good. Give it here.
Sorry. Got to give it into Mrs. Williams' hands. Mr. Annesley's orders.
Damn you. Betty, come here, quick.
Yes, dear.
Right, give it her.
Counsel's opinion, Mrs. Williams.
Oh, but my husband.
Take it, will you? And you, off. Right, let me have it. Be quiet while I read it. Thought as much. All against me. The fact that I'm your husband doesn't seem to matter a damn.
Oh, dear, does that mean...
What belongs to you belongs to me. That's the law. But not when the husband's not of the same class, it doesn't.
I'm sure Mr. Annesley's only trying to do his...
You're on their side, ain't you? You all stick together. Well, let me tell you something, Bessie. Whatever happens now is all your fault. The lot of you. You're all to blame.
The position, according to counsel, is that whatever we do... The trust remains as it is. At any time, the trustees can, in fact, use the funds to buy you an annuity. And there's nothing you can do to stop them. If they do, your husband will not receive a penny of your money on your death.
Oh, dear, did you tell Henry about this?
Yes. Oh. And he's read counsel's opinion. He also knows that I do not advise you to sign that deed of covenant because... Well, apart from the fact that it won't affect the trust, I think it's wrong that you should tie up your power to change your will.
I have no intention of changing it whether I sign the deed or not. So I want to get this matter settled as quickly as possible.
What did he say?
Oh, he just shrugged and said, as you please, Mrs. Williams, I'll have the documents prepared right away.
Well done, Betty. I was wrong about you. You really do love me.
more than anything in the world.
You will sign your will here, Mrs. Williams. Then when you've done that, you will sign the deed of covenant. But before you do, I want you fully to understand that your husband will get everything you own on your death, whether at that time you wish him to have your money or not.
I understand perfectly.
It is my experience that sometimes people wish to change their minds. Circumstances may arise and feelings are not quite the same anymore.
I love my husband. I don't see why he shouldn't have my money.
Let's get on with it, shall we? Wake up! Wake up!
Oh, Henry. Oh, darling. Oh, thank God it's you. Oh, I had a terrible dream.
No, dear, not a dream. You've just had a fit.
A fit?
Yes, dear, a very bad one, I'm afraid. We were talking when suddenly your head fell forward. I thought you'd fall off your chair.
I've never had a fit before.
This was one, all right. I know. I've seen men having them in the army. And if it's in the family, it can come out at any time.
I was drowning. Oh, I was so frightened. No one's had fits in our family.
Well, what about your father? Didn't you say he died of a stroke? Well, that's more or less the same thing as a fit. I'm very concerned about you, dearest. You've not been looking at all well these past few days. We'd better see a doctor first thing in the morning. May I look at your tongue, please, Mrs. Williams? No sign of biting. You'd expect that with a fit. I'd better examine your heart and take your pulse. Have you ever had a fit before, Mrs. Williams, or any member of your family?
No, never. And I don't remember having one last night. It's just this headache I've got.
Headache, Well, your heart and pulse are quite normal. Your bowels in order. No trouble passing water?
Oh, no.
Good. Then it would seem that you've nothing to worry about. I'm not so sure. My wife didn't want to tell you about her father. He died insane, and that's what makes me so scared. They can be fatal fits, can't they? Ah, well, yes. In that case, you have cause to be concerned. Hereditary diseases are difficult to predict. They can strike at any time. I'll make up some medicine for you, Mrs. Williams. A mild sedative. Take it 3 times a day. Mm-hmm. And I suggest, just to be on the safe side, you spend a day or two in bed. Then you should be as right as rain. What about a bath, Doctor? I understand it can help prevent fits. Well, I've never heard that before, but one now and then certainly can't do any harm as long as it's not too hot. Thank you, Dr. Finch. I'm very grateful to you. Not at all. That's what I'm here for. And should you need any further help, please do not hesitate to call.
I saw some second-hand ones outside the ironmongers on the corner. Well, let's go and look at them.
Oh, so hot, Henry. Can't we just sit by the front?
You heard what Dr. French said.
I'm well now. Really, I am. It's just terrible heat.
A fit is a fit, dear. And as the doctor said, they could be fatal, so we mustn't take any risk. Here we are. He's marked it up at 40 shillings. I want you to go in and offer him 30 shillings. I'll wait out here for you.
But why me, Henry?
Because, dear, you've got to start getting used to bargaining if you want to help me in the shop.
40 shillings. Take it or leave it.
No, 30 shillings.
35.
30. Not a penny more.
You try the hard bargain, lady. All right, 30.
I'll make a dealer of you yet, Mrs. Williams.
Thank you, Mr. Williams.
Steady now, Mr. Hill. Want to pay work? Next to the bedroom, so my wife doesn't have to walk. She's not been at all well of late. That's it. Yeah, the bath looks very nice there. Now, when we get more furniture and paint up the place a bit, it'll be perfect. Thank you, Mr. Hill.
Is it all right, dear?
Yes, Bessie. Right next door at the top of the stairs. So it'll be easy to bring the water up from the kitchen. And I'll put a chair in for your clothes.
Oh, you think of everything, Henry.
I try to. Now, I'll fetch you a glass of warm milk to help you to sleep.
Oh, I'm sure I will. I'm very tired.
Wake up, Bessie. For God's sake, wake up. You've had another fit.
No, Henry, I haven't. I just fell asleep. What time is it?
Past midnight.
Then why are you dressed?
I'm going to fetch Dr. French.
Oh, am I ill, Henry? Oh, please tell me.
I think so, dearest. But don't worry. I'll have the best medical men in Herne Bay to make you well again.
I don't feel very ill. I'm sure it's just the heat. But Henry wouldn't be in such a state if I wasn't. Oh, am I going to die, I wonder? If I am, please, God, let me not go like Papa. Oh, let it be quick and painless, and let Henry be close beside me.
Have you recently been woken up, Mrs. Williams?
Yes, Doctor, at least it seemed like it. But Henry...
Hey, as I told you, Dr. French, she definitely had another fit. Exactly like the first one. Unconscious, then twitching, and her mouth opening and closing all the time. I thought it might be the end. I really did.
I know you're upset, Mr. Williams, but please try to be calm. How are you feeling now, Mrs. Williams?
A headache, but otherwise...
Do you see, that's what's so worrying about them. They come so suddenly, my wife can remember nothing about them afterwards.
I'll prepare some more medicine for you, Mrs. Williams, and I'll call again during the day. Meanwhile, just rest quietly.
Oh, I'm so glad we came out. I couldn't lie in bed another minute. And you bought me such a lovely dress, Henry. You're so good to me.
It's a pity we couldn't have had that bath fitted. Carrying buckets of hot water up and downstairs will be so much trouble.
I don't think a bath's necessary anymore. I feel fine, really I do.
That's what you thought yesterday, and look what happened last night. If you finish your tea, Bessie, I'd like to go. I want you to write that letter to your uncle.
All right, Henry. I love it here in Herne Bay. Do you think we can stay here forever? I've never stayed in one place for more than a few months since Papa died.
Yes, yes, we'll see. I'd better tell you what to write.
Yes, dear, you'd better.
Herne Bay, 12th July, 1912. Dear Uncle Herbert, I have recently had a number of bad fits which have left me weak and suffering from nerves and headache and have evidently shaken my whole system. My husband
has been extremely kind and done all he could for me. He has provided me with the attention of the best medical men here, who are constantly giving me treatment and visiting me day and night. I do not like to worry you with this, but my husband has strictly advised me to tell all my relatives... No, that should be to let... That's right, to let all my relatives know and tell them of my breakdown. I've made out my will and have left all I have to my husband... Because I love him. Yours sincerely, Bessie. Well, what do you think, Fanny? Shall we go to her?
No, Herbert. She's made her bed. Let her lie in it.
Poor Bessie.
Your bath is ready, Mom.
Thank you, my man. Let me just finish pinning up my hair.
And how is Mom feeling this morning?
Tired, but otherwise quite well, thank you.
Then I shall help Mom to the bathroom.
Yes, but you mustn't come in, you naughty man.
Here, let me help you take off your nightgown and nightcap. You've a very fine figure, Mrs. Williams, if I may say.
And you, Henry Williams, are a terrible liar. I'm getting much too plump.
Good. Oh. That's how I like my women. Now, into your bath, but take care. We don't want any accidents, do we?
Ooh. Oh, this is lovely. May I wear my new dress today, Henry?
Of course. Now, you lie back and enjoy it while I soak your legs.
Oh.
Remember that girl on the beach? The one who drowned?
Yes, dear.
That's what gave me the idea.
What idea, darling?
To kill you. You see, it was in very shallow water, probably less than you've got in the bath. So I realised that if I took you by the ankle, like this... Then pull you up quick, like this...
Heavens, what is it?
It's my wife, Mrs. Milgate. It's Bessie. Oh, God, I don't know what to do.
Well, what's happened to her?
She had a fit in her bath. I went out to buy some fish for her tea, and when I come back, I found her head under the water.
Oh. Did you send for Dr. French?
Yes, straight away. He helped me to take her out of the bath, and he gave her artificial respiration. But it was no good. She was gone.
Oh,
poor darling Bessie.
Oh.
She was so happy here in Herne Bay. Only yesterday she was saying she'd like to settle here forever. And now...
What are you going to do?
I don't know. I just know I can't stay in that house a moment longer. Do you think I could stop with you a few days till I get things sorted out?
Oh, yes, of course you can.
13th July, 1912. Dear Mr. Mundy, words cannot describe the great shock I suffered in the loss of my wife. The doctor said she had a fit in the bath, and I can assure you and all her relatives that everything was done which was possible to do on her behalf. I can say no more, believe me. Yours faithfully, Henry Williams.
My duty as coroner is a simple one. I sum up the evidence. But it's for you, the jury, to decide whether the deceased died by someone deliberately causing her death or by accident. The relatives of the deceased have requested a post-mortem examination. But looking at the facts, and there was abundant evidence that the deceased was drowned, I do not see how such an examination will help you arrive at a verdict. If she was drowned by violence, you would have expected to find some signs of a struggle. There are no such signs, so death by violence is unlikely. The husband, anxious for his wife's health, had taken her to see the doctor, and he had described to him symptoms which were compatible with epilepsy. If, therefore, you are of the opinion that while in her bath she had an epileptic seizure, then your verdict will be death by misadventure. We have gone into the matter very carefully, and I hope the relatives will be told that this case has been thoroughly thrashed out.
Dear Mr. Mundy, the result of the inquest on Bessie was misadventure by a fit in the bath. The burial takes place tomorrow at 2 p.m. I am astonished at the mean and most unmanly conduct of Bessie's brother George, who, notwithstanding every opportunity to come down to Herne Bay in order to see the proceedings carried out by the officials, wrote at the 11th hour a most offensive letter to the district coroner in which he asked him to hold a very strict investigation. I will leave you to guess what the coroner, doctors, jury and police thought of such a letter. As for myself, the time will come when, with all the feelings which becomes a man, I shall demand from Mr. Brother George his reasons for writing that letter. I have not got over the shock of losing the one I thought more of than anyone in this world. The only comforter I have now is the great God himself, to whom I pray and rely for sufficient strength to bear this terrible calamity.
Humbug. That man's duped the coroner and the rest of them, just as he duped poor Bessie.
He never even gave George a chance to get to the inquest.
Well, that's because he didn't want him there.
Oh, nor at the funeral. Mm. His letter arrived after it was all over.
Yeah, I wonder why.
Herbert, you don't think...
Oh, I don't know what to think, Fanny. The whole business from start to finish has been so extraordinary. And because that poor silly girl made her will in his favour, he will get every penny.
Is there nothing we can do to stop him?
Stop him? No. Delay, perhaps. Unless, of course, we could prove that he... No, but we can't. So there's no point in speculating. No, I'm afraid he's got the better of us. Damn him.
Mr. Hill?
Hmm?
That bath my wife bought from you, will you take it back, please? I won't be needing it anymore. I've come to pay next month's rent on the house.
I suppose you read about my poor wife. Terrible business. Dr. French has advised me to go away for a change of air to get my nerves quieted down. I won't be going far nor for long. But while I'm away, I'd like you to look me up a little place in the country with some land. Nothing too expensive. About £400 maximum. To buy, if it's suitable. July 29th, 1912. Dear Mr. Annesley, I shall be leaving Margate to go further into Mid-Kent buying antiques. Those Mundys asking for details about my history is all bluff. All they need to know is that I am the lawful husband of the deceased. Otherwise, what's the point of a will? 6th December, 1912. Dear Mr. Annesley, the Mundy solicitor is taking up too much time paying me what is, after all, only my due. I want you to demand that they settle the business without delay. P.S. And tell anyone who might inquire about me that you have no instructions whatsoever to disclose my address or business affairs to anyone. I'm interested in buying that house you advertise in Eltham Road, Bristol, for £420. I'll be paying in gold. I'm interested in buying that house you advertise in Oak Road, Bournemouth. The one for £180. In Queen's Avenue, Southsea, for £400. Good morning, Miss...
Burnham.
Ah, Miss Burnham. Pleased to meet you. Permit me to introduce myself. My name is George Smith. I'm an artist just visiting Southsea. And I saw you wheeling an old man into church. Your father?
Oh, no. No, that's Mr. Holt. I'm his nurse. He likes to go on a Sunday. I like to sit out here in the churchyard. So peaceful, don't you think?
Very. I take it, then, you have no close family?
Oh, not in Southsea.
Ah, then, like me, you're all alone.
Yes.
I hope you will not be angry with me, Miss Burnham, if I say, as an artist, that you have a very fine figure.
I say, Fanny, listen to this in the newspaper. Mrs. George Smith, who was married only 6 weeks ago, died suddenly in a London boarding house on the 18th of December, 1914. Her husband, giving evidence at the inquest, said he met his wife, who was a nurse, at Southsea. After travelling to London, she complained of headaches and giddiness, and he took her to a medical man who prescribed for her. That evening, she took a hot bath, where she was a considerable time. When he called to her, there was no answer. He entered the bathroom and found his wife lying in the water, dead. The doctor concluded death was due to drowning, saying that the heat of the water could have acted on her heart, causing either a fit or a faint. Now, who does that sound like?
Good God. Bessie, and that terrible... What was his name?
Henry Williams. Is it a coincidence, do you think? Or could there be a connection?
Oh, you never can tell. Why not write to Scotland Yard? If it's a coincidence, well, that'll be that. But if not...
Then somebody... we'll have to do some investigating.
Are you George Joseph Smith?
Yes.
You were married to Alice Burnham on the 17th of December last, and she was found by you, dead in her bath in Highgate.
Oh, yes, shocking business.
You were also said to be identical with John Lloyd, who was married to Margaret Lofty, who similarly died in her bath in Blackpool.
No, I deny it. I've never heard of any of that
then,
name.
Henry Williams, who was married to Miss Bessie Mundy in Weymouth in 1912.
Lies, all lies. Who's saying these things about me?
I must ask you to accompany me to Bow Street Station, where you'll be charged with the murder of Alice Burnham, Margaret Lofty...
George Joseph Smith. You are charged on indictment that you, on the 13th day of July, in the year 1912, feloniously, willfully, and of your malice aforethought, did kill and murder Bessie Constance Annie Mundy. Are you guilty or not guilty?
Not guilty.
Call Dr. Bernard Spilsbury.
I am the pathologist at St. Mary's Hospital, London. In February of this year, I went to Herne Bay and there saw a coffin which had been recently exhumed. The plate bore the name of Constance Annie Williams. There was no bruising on the body, but this, to my mind, does not invalidate the suggestion that the deceased died by violence. Experiments have been conducted with a volunteer of a size and height similar to the deceased, and have proved to my satisfaction that the accused, with the strength and capability of a man trained as a gymnasium instructor, could easily have held the deceased by the ankles, drawn up her legs suddenly, forcing her body beneath the water by about 8 inches, so that she lost consciousness almost instantaneously and drowned. Had she known what she was about to do, she would probably have struggled. But the accused, being her husband, she trusted him. And that trust, in my view, is what killed her.
Gentlemen of the jury, I thank you for the great attention you have paid to this case, and I thoroughly concur in your verdict. It may interest you to know, and show the fairness of an English trial, that there was evidence which has not been given before you, that in addition to the 3 marriages you have heard about in court which ended in death, the prisoner went through the ceremony of marriage with at least 6 other women, in each case robbing them of their life savings. George Joseph Smith, you have been found guilty of cold-blooded and heartless murder. I think the exhortation to repentance would be wasted on you. The sentence of the court upon you is that you be hanged by the neck until you be dead, and may the Lord have mercy on your soul.
I've done no murder. Say what you like. I've done no murder. I've done no murder.
Poor Henry. Poor Bessie was written for radio by Jack Gratis, with John Croft as Henry Williams and Penelope Nice as Bessie Mundy. The rest of the cast, Uncle Herbert and Mr. Crabb, Edward D'Souza, Aunt Fanny, Anne Jameson, Mrs. Crabb, Gwen Cheryl, Mr. Wheaton and Dr. French, George Parsons, Mr. Annesley and Dr. Spilsbury, Alan Thompson, George Mundy and the coroner, Trevor Nichols, Mrs. Milgate, Pauline Letts, Mrs. Tuckett, Peggy Ann Wood, and Mrs. Stone and Alice, Tessa Worsley. Other parts were played by John Church, Jared Morgan, and Jamie Roberts. The play was produced in Bristol by Brian Miller.